call the study session of the City Council to order at 5:31. First, does any member of council have a change he or she will be suggesting for the agenda tonight? I think you do, Ms. Carr.
Yes, I would like to add the reappointment of Luther Baker to the Park Commission to the agenda.
Okay, well, we'll do that up at the top. And I will be, I don't know which we will be swearing in John Owens to the Board of Adjustment tonight. And there was a note that Jeff Mishkin, not Miskin, but Mishkin, has already been sworn in to the Traffic Commission. So we'll do those up. Okay. Mr. Smotherson?
Well, I did have a question in reference to the agenda, and I just wanted to find out. Well, I wanted to make a request. At the end of the agenda, we're going into a study session, an executive session. Is that something that I can make a motion to have that move to the front of the agenda when the meeting starts? Because of the technical difficulties that we've had, and I just want to make sure that I think it's an important enough item that I want to include everybody in reference to the executive. We can't do that.
The vote?
You can't vote that in the beginning?
No.
No. I mean, can we move the vote to the beginning? It doesn't mean that we go into executive session. It just means that I'm asking, can that item, Q, be moved to the beginning of our agenda, of the meeting? Because it doesn't necessarily mean that we are going into executive session. I'm just asking if we can move that, simply because I want everybody to be able to make a decision on every item in this. And I think that that's important enough so that if we have technical difficulties, it doesn't eliminate him, opposed to, you know, that's it. We look at. Sure, I understand that, but what does that matter that we take the vote in the beginning? That's my question.
Well, I guess the point is you can make a motion to move that to the beginning of the agenda.
Okay.
But I think since it is executive session, we will do the items separately since it's an executive session. So we'll vote on the appointments and the swearing-ins and that. And we'll just do it at the beginning. So you will make a motion to move item
Q
to the top of the meeting.
Sure. Absolutely.
You can do that. And then the council will vote on whether or not they want to amend the agenda in that way, or if they would prefer to keep it where it is on the agenda.
Not a problem.
Mr. Glickman.
Just a question for Mr. Smotherson. So do you understand that if we do that,
yes,
then we leave the dais and go into closed session?
No. I'm not saying that we do at that time, but I'm just saying that the vote, just to take the vote early in the agenda, opposed to taking it at the end, because it doesn't mean that we go into executive session at that time. I'm just asking that can we move that item and take that vote earlier in the agenda, and knowing that if, in fact, that's what happens, then we go into executive session at the end of, you know what I mean?
Understood.
But not actually go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. And that's why I'm asking, because I want clarification too.
And so then, just to clarify,
sure,
we will vote on whether or not to move item Q,
right,
to the top of the agenda. If it passes, it will move to the top of the agenda. If not, it will remain at the bottom of the agenda.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
We will also be adding, Ms. Carr will add her reappointment. And I will add the swearing-ins. Okay. Any other changes? Hearing none, we will now begin this study session. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of council. The third item on the agenda for the study session is the Green Practices Commission update presentation. I understood that Ms. Lois Sechrist was going to lead off.
Thank you. Good evening. My name's Lois Sechrist. I'm in Ward 1. I live at 7153 Pershing Avenue, and I think I know pretty much everyone in the group. Thank you for allowing us to present the great work that we're doing with green practices. To share with you a little bit of history about our commission, we currently have the 6 members that you see on the screen, and they're all in attendance tonight. We'll all be introducing ourselves in the course of our presentation. We work with Jenny Wendt as our staff liaison and Terry Crow as our city council liaison. And we've had great relationships working with both council and staff over the years, and we'll go into more detail on that as we continue through our presentation. We became an informal committee in about the 2007-2008 time frame. Does that sound about right, Shelley? Mayor? Yeah. And then an ordinance was brought forth before City Council in 2009 that formalized our work in 4 activities that were our initial tasks. We began with 7 categories, and we have now streamlined into 5. We set a strategic plan in 2011 and became a formal commission in 2012. So as a side note to that, we are now rotating through our first terms, and we would love your help in recruiting new members to the commission. So a little bit of background information. The general concept of sustainability means that we look towards the future with the decisions that we're making today. And so this means financial sustainability, environmental sustainability, as well as social impact decisions that we make this as well. And it's very interesting to me that this definition is going on 30 years old, even though we're every day learning more about the work that we're doing and embedding it more into the decisions that we make. Oops, wrong button. Let's try this again. We have a mission statement. We want to improve the health and the quality of life of our community. So not only for our businesses, our residents, also for our visitors. We want to protect our natural resources and, of course, strengthen our economy. And our vision statement is to fully engage our community, again, touching on city government, residents, students, businesses, and the visitors, so that we infuse sustainability into all of our decisions and all of our actions. So this speaks to a concept called the triple bottom line, where we have a financial, environmental, and a social benefit of all of the decisions that we make and all of the work that we do. And ideally, these should be equally balanced. So we look at that framework in the work that we're doing and try to use that lens of social, economic, and environmental benefit. We also state that as people, planet, and profit in the work that we do. So what we would like to do tonight is step through the 5 categories of our work. I'm going to ask individual members of our commission to make presentations and talk a little bit about our accomplishments to date and our goals for the future, and then leave a little bit of time at the end for input from you of what you're hearing from our residents of U City of projects that we should be thinking about and other ideas that we should be working on. So as you can see here, we have 5 areas of focus. So first, I'd like to ask Diane Benjamin to come up. She's going to talk about ecosystems and habitat.
Good evening. I'm Diane Benjamin. I own a home in Ward 3. My address is 7332 Milan Avenue. Or Millen or Milan or... Right. So in focusing on ecosystems and habitat, our strategic plan across all those categories looked at three different areas. Public spaces, that would be municipal-owned property, as well as schools, libraries, rights of way, those kinds of things. The second would be residences, apartment buildings, places where people live. And then the third category would be businesses and other privately owned property. So in thinking about that, okay. So in thinking about that,
it should advance. There you go.
Okay. I wasn't ready for it yet, but that's okay. I'm ready now. So in thinking about that, just roughly on a scale of 1 to 10, we thought that our public spaces were in fairly good shape compared to the other categories. So maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, you would put our public spaces at, say, a 7. Then when you think about residences, you might put them at, say, a 3 or a 4. In terms of quality of ecosystems and habitat. And in terms of our private property, we might put that on, say, a 1 or a 2. So with that in mind, we decided maybe our first focus would be residences. At that same time, we also got a wonderful opportunity from the St. Louis Audubon Society to bring a program to the city of University City. They're having great success in other municipalities nearby, Creve Coeur, Webster Grove, et cetera. So that program is Bring Conservation Home. We were able to bring that program to the council and strike a bargain that our residences, instead of paying $50 for a consultation from Pring Conservation Home, would get a half-price $25 break in exchange for publicly promoting the Bring Conservation Home program. So I'm pleased to report in the last year or two since we've endorsed that program and promoted it, we have about 50 private homes that have taken advantage of that program. And that's just in the 63130 zip code. There are probably some in the corners of some of our other zip codes that have taken place, but the easiest way to do that is through the 63130 zip code. And again, about 50 residences, and it's just going great guns. University City is one of the most successful places that St. Louis Audubon has implemented the program, and they continue to promote. We all promote the program, and we hope to have continued success. With that in mind, and creating some momentum, we started looking at not only private places but some public spaces. And thanks to some eager people at UCity in Bloom, there was a desire to create some Monarch Way stations, pollinator gardens, various names for that, in a couple of public places. So there was a citizens volunteer corps group created to promote this effort. And to date, we have 3 spaces, and we'll work on some more. One of those is at the fire station that had already been started some time ago as mitigation area from the River de Pere watershed. And those folks are maintaining that pretty well. The second that was implemented was next to the dog park on Vernon in the River de Pere floodplain, not far from the nursery area and the UCity in Bloom area. And so that would be the front most spectacular looking row of that garden. That's on Vernon, and I encourage you to drive by slowly or walk by and see that. And then the third place we have installed a garden, which is brand new this year, is at the oldest historic home in University City, which is the Suttermeyer Farmhouse. And so we've got a garden growing there on the backside of that property. I would say then there are some challenges yet. We have some thoughts moving forward. Ah. And so these are some of the goals that we have proposed for the coming year or so. We have been approached by E.W.A. Winkler and some other folks to think through how can our parks and our medians reduce costs for mowing by having some native plant installation, and so we're going to think through that plan. The second is to think through working with U-City and Bloom and the Community Development Department on increasing the native mix of plantings on municipal owned property and medians and roadways, just to maybe beef that up a little bit in the U-City and Bloom specifications, the scope of work next time that contract is up for bid. Again, that's a money savings. They require less watering, no fertilizer, less maintenance, and all of that, as well as increasing environmental value. And then finally, as I mentioned, to continue to promote Bring Conservation Home, the Monarch Gardens, and to keep everyone updated on how that's progressing. I'm sure we could have questions at this point or save them to the end. Any quick questions at this point? I'd be happy to answer. Yes. Right.
Pollinated gardens, that would be for bees and other insects.
Right, oh, right. Gotcha. That's exactly right.
I just
right.
wanted yep. to make sure. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Which are different from the Monarch Way stations.
They're a crossover, so anything usually that's good for butterflies is also good for bees.
Gotcha.
Good question.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Scott Edson. I live on Cornell Avenue, just east of Midland. Thank you very much for having us again this evening. And I'm going to touch on the education and community advocacy piece as one of the objectives that the Green Practices Commission is trying to work through. Here's a screenshot of some of the things on our webpage, a screenshot of some of the recycling flyers that we've sent out. And that's just a small piece of some of the things that we have done and that we're looking forward to continuing in the future. Here are some of our main points as far as what we like to do on the advocacy side and then what our goals are for the future. As far as EcoTalks are concerned, we've had Bring Conservation Home, the Sierra Club. As Dr. Benjamin just mentioned, we've had U-City and Bloom come in and speak with us to work through some of the issues about planting more natives. Milkweeds for monarchs is a big issue. We've tried to collaborate with those organizations and bring them into the meetings with great success. Collaboration with other communities, and that's with other communities, and I think it's also within our community. One of the big projects that we're working along with Jenny would be a commercial recycling task force that we've got set up where we're working with business owners. Right now we're kind of starting on the loop and other people within U-City to figure out a better way to handle and address recycling from some of the business owners on the loop. What can we do to incentivize it? If everybody does recycle, what can we do to give them a place to recycle? How do we work that in to the current arrangement with some of the businesses? And the idea is to get a program up and running and then maybe take it to other parts of University City as well. And as part of that, we've also looked into, on the commission, commercial recycling ordinances. Those have been implemented in several other cities. We've done a preliminary study on the legality of it and then also how they're structured, whether it's an incentive or punitive-based ordinance, and this is something we're still digesting. But a goal of the commission would be to continue to evaluate that and then see how our commercial recycling task force plays out to see what we can do to best incentivize commercial recycling within University City. As Lois mentioned, recruit and engage subject matter experts. This is something that we could certainly use some assistance with. As you can probably tell by the people on the commission, we have a lot of subject matter expertise from our members, and sadly some of those members are going to be termed off soon, and it's a shame to lose that expertise. I certainly hope that we can encourage a lot of them to remain involved, but when they are off the commission, there will be a little bit of a substantial gap in knowledge and experience, and we'd like to figure out a way to, whether it's through subcommittee or something else or recruiting new members, to keep that knowledge base on the commission, and that's an important challenge that we're certainly facing and we're working on. Seeking input from university citizens, we've done outreach efforts such as set up booths at Earth Day. We have the mailers and the flyers that you've seen on the previous slide. We certainly invite comments at all of our meetings if citizens want to show up, and we have had a few citizen presentations that have been quite good. Another part of that is our website and our communication and how we communicate, and we'd like to try to bring some of that communication into this decade and make it more approachable. As you all have probably been on our website, you've seen that there's a lot of information, and it can be daunting to find what you're looking for. We're trying to figure out a way within our existing web architecture to make our information more easily obtainable for our citizens. What can we do to get them to our web pages, to get them to that information, to get them to want to go there and see what can I do to find out about rain barrel incentives, which is something that we've done, connect UCity citizens with rain barrel incentives so that they could get a rain barrel program started at their house, those types of things. And that comes with redesigning the website, creating constant social media communications with the residents over a variety of issues, whether it's recycling tips, did you know efforts, things that may be coming up, such as the electronics recycling event or the America Recycles Day on November 15th, which I believe we're going to plan a community outreach gathering or event for. Another thing that we like to do is promote and publicize sustainability efforts. I mentioned the rain barrels. That's something that we've done in the past, connecting people to rain barrel incentives, electronic recycling events, and other things along those lines. And then finally, collaborate with city staff on print and social media. Again, I mentioned the website and other forms of communication. We used to put out recycling tips, environmental tweets, such as, you know, if you recycle one Pepsi can, it, you know, can run your plasma TV for 3 hours or saves enough energy to run your TV for 3 hours, something like that, just to get people thinking about it and make them conscious about their waste and recycling. And the other thing I think that it can help us do is keep the council and the community updated of what we're doing, the projects that we're taking on, whether we're going to be at America Recycles Day, how we're going to help you recycle your old TVs those types of things. So I think that's all a main goal of the education, communication, and advocacy. It's essentially increasing communication, increasing awareness. And next, my colleague, Mr. Tim Michaels, will take on energy.
Question? Oh. Scott. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask, are you working with our schools, the elementary and middle and high schools with some of your efforts?
Probably not as much as we could be. Okay. And that's a good idea that we'll take back to the shop. So, yeah.
One good way to reach the parents, to get them involved in recycling, maybe is to have the kids tell them if they recycle one can, that that'll power the TV for, 3 hours. Okay?
That's a good idea.
Councilmember Clicker.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, Scott, as you know, I was liaison, and you're right, we're filtering through our people, and this commission has got Hall of Famers written all over it, every one of them. Actually, to Mr. Jennings' question, and I thought this would fall under education, and that is just an aside first, that Mr. Jennings and I have been intricately involved in Lions Against Litter, and we've been out picking up litter. Now, obviously, that's a sustainable item because there's a lot of stuff. But about the schools, what we did notice with the litter was it looked like it was essentially young people litter, candy wrappers, Vest soda bottles, things of that nature. So I think along with the schools that I think we as a city need to either start communicating in some manner, please don't litter, you know, our neighborhoods. And I think that would be a good idea for you guys to maybe jump on too. I don't know about you guys, but when you drive the interstate, I don't know how they do it. You see signs up, people say, you know, Enterprise Leasing is cleaning up this area. It looks worse now than ever before. So it's a regional thing too. But I think it's worth city and the schools maybe getting involved there. Thanks.
No, thank you.
A few things. I know Dr. Benjamin mentioned the work you're doing with uCity and Bloom, but has the commission and talk about collaboration been working with the other environmental groups in the city? I know you mentioned Mr. Winker for parks, but do you have any kind of an ongoing sharing of ideas with the Parks Commission or the Green Center or River to Pear Watershed Coalition?
We do.
Good.
We do.
And then you mentioned the November 15th event. I guess it's not organized yet, but the Roars is coming out. Deadline's tomorrow, so I hope you can get something in for tomorrow so people at least think about it.
Yes. This was a today idea between Jenny and I, so
okay.
We'll get on it.
Good. And I back up Mr. Glickert, and I'm also going out on the Lions Against Litter and the stuff. I mean, I want to write Swisher Sweetums or something. I find those all over the city, and I've been picking up trash on my morning walks. It's a real problem, and I know trash cans kind of attract trash and a lot of stuff around the trash cans, but I do think if that fits into what you see as your mission, I think it's worth trying to become the model on how to handle that.
Certainly does.
Because we are very much a city of walkers and bikers. I can walk into Clayton and I don't see as much, but there's not as much activity on the streets in our neighboring cities. Mr. Jennings.
I wanted to add to, you might want to tag team with the Lions Against Litter. Get the contact people there. In fact, you might find some members for the commission because the group can be large at times.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the comments.
Thank you.
Tim.
Thank you very much. My name's Tim Michaels. I reside at 7038 Cornell, 2nd Ward. And I've been on, like Lois, since almost the very beginning. And there's a couple of things to... see this forward. Yes, energy. Some of our successes that we've had in the last bit of time is we helped the city enact an ordinance that addressed energy efficiency, renewable energy, and greenhouse reduction as a policy for city investment in energy efficiency. And we'll be helping or trying to help the city move forward with that as time goes along, bringing ideas, concepts forward. One of them was successfully implemented at this point in time, or is in process of being implemented, and that was we assisted the city with securing a loan from the state to invest in energy efficiency in City Hall and Centennial Commons. The ordinance is predicated on the fact that energy investments are cost effective, and it is your least cost approach to managing the future. So we're going to continue to hammer on that, and hopefully there will be a lot of energy savings and information that comes out of it that will help promote this to the community at large. In fact, the ordinance requires, you know, kiosks that identify what's going on so that people get educated to what is happening in city buildings. And then we have also assisted the city in joining the PACE program. I believe the city has now signed up with 3 different PACE programs that are available that provide the financing necessary. 100% financing is available for projects that show that they can cash flow themselves in terms of energy efficiency. In other words, if you save more money than would be the amount required to pay off a loan, you're allowed to borrow 100% of what you need to make that happen. So we need to find cases where we can make this actually work so that the city can then promote it to businesses and residents. Now, moving forward into the future, We're hoping that the city will set for itself a goal that it will be net zero by the year 2025 for all of its operations, city-owned operations, not the city at large. There is a city in Georgetown, Texas, that is a sterling example for us to follow, and it will be 100% renewable energy in the first quarter of 2017 through wind and solar and efficiency. So that's an option that you can look at. We strongly encourage the city to mount an immediate effort to replace all of the city-owned lights with LEDs, city-owned street lights. And then this corollary to that is attack the Ameren-owned street lights in terms of owning them yourselves. Kick Ameren out. Sorry to be so blunt. But you're not getting any benefit from being renting their poles and lights. Then we feel that there is a real opportunity to advance renewable energy opportunities. The DOE suggests that everything except solar in terms of renewable energies, wind, geothermal, and biomass, are equivalent or less than the cost of producing electricity from coal. So those are the things that we need to focus on as a community and bring forward by advancing renewable energy opportunities ourselves here locally. We've done a fairly good job of leading the fray in terms of adopting the more stringent early adopters of the energy efficiency codes. We need to maintain that. There will be new ones coming out shortly, and we need to stay on top of that as a city. We would encourage the city to look into pretty advanced ideas in terms of vehicular and energy equipment that you could use. For instance, the Port of LA now use electrical tugs, so to speak, to take the containers from the ship areas off the campus. I think it's the sort of thing that you could retrofit or buy new garbage trucks as they come up for life cycle, start specifying that you want them to be electric powered. So that's an idea. So then a lot of this is going to languish. We've watched the way staff is overworked, and we strongly encourage the city to double down on this, make it a real item that you're going to pursue, and at least fund a one-half staff position to encourage and work with this within city government. It's not going to move forward if it has to depend on this being people's extra hours that they can put in. You know, the city has to make that commitment, and we strongly recommend this. And in that process, you know, maintain what we've already been doing in terms of using and reporting our carbon production, document it so that we can show people in the future how much we're going to bring it down. Assisting homeowners and businesses with their own net zero opportunities, again, that would require staff to help. So again, we're suggesting that staff position could help cover some of that. And we have to advance the ability for businesses and residents to have the capital to make the investments that are in everybody's best interest. And the city of St. Louis recently exercised qualified energy conservation bonds. They've pulled down a little over $3 million, and they're helping their homeowners. Right now, they've launched the program this last month. And I would recommend that University City take the opportunity to not only get the money that they need for your own buildings and perhaps even things like the garbage truck retrofits as a concept, get this from the qualified energy conservation bonds. The city is putting at least $1 million of it into their own city buildings, so it's qualified for city use as well as distribution to businesses and residents. So I would suggest that we could be more aggressive than just $3 million. There's, I think, $52 billion that was set aside for this, and it's hardly been tapped because people just haven't stepped up with a plan to take it down. It's subsidized money. The federal government subsidized the interest rates. It's 2.5%, and it gets paid back. And staff brought to our attention recently that the finance department is looking for some guidance on how to fund and move this forward. We would recommend, and it didn't get on the slide, sorry, that the city freeze its budget allocations for energy so that it can be then, as saved, it can be used directly to pay down the loans that are used to do that.
Sorry. With regard to the PACE programs, I understand that you have to be a clean energy city, or do we qualify for that?
I presume we qualify, but okay. I'm not aware that that's a requirement for being a PACE city.
And so I also had understood, and correct me if I'm wrong, that when you borrow this, it actually goes on your property taxes as opposed to taking out a loan and making a mortgage payment. Is that correct?
That you have options both ways.
Okay.
If you choose to do it that way, you don't get to depreciate it because it's a tax. Mm-hmm. But if you choose to depreciate it, which has some tax advantages, you don't book it through the county as a tax asset or a tax liability. There's a variety of ways that you can do it. That is one of them.
Okay, so the individual homeowner has a choice to make if they, no?
It okay. can be for homeowners.
It actually can be, yeah.
Freddie and Fannie have decided that they should collaborate, but at the same time, they only manage 50% of the mortgage load in the United States, so if you don't have a Freddie or Fannie, you don't get it. I need to move on to leave time mm-hmm. for others.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello. I'm Jenny Wendt. I am a staff member. I've worked for Youth City since 2010. Started as an intern, then a part-time, contractor, then a part-time employee, and then a full-time employee. So I am going to report on waste and resource conservation for Bob Elgin. Normally handles this, but he's been out of town. He just got back. So just going to talk a little bit about what we've done so far, or just recently. I'm just going to touch on some things. It's not going to be everything we've done for sure. Can't do all that. But recently we have worked with St. Louis Earth Day and Green Dining Alliance to make the Loop a green dining district. And that means a certain percentage of businesses, I think 25% of businesses, have to commit to recycling, not using styrofoam, no smoking, energy efficiency. And so we worked with them because in conjunction with that, we're doing the commercial recycling incentive because... And so we kind of tag-teamed because they were trying to get businesses, and it was a great promotional opportunity for the businesses and for us, too, to get the people recycling. Because and that comes to the second one, which is the commercial recycling initiative we've talked about a few times. But it came to my attention when I started in this position that very few businesses recycled because the business had to pay extra to recycle. Even though when I talked to the private haulers and even the recycling companies, it made more sense if the businesses had less trash service and added recycling, and then everybody would come out even. But that education piece wasn't there. So they basically said there's just not that education piece to educate the businesses and educate the salespeople that are doing it. So we went through, and when we started, about 25 businesses were recycling, and now about 60 of the 90 businesses that we've been working with are recycling, and we're still moving forward with those. So this increase has brought in revenue, and also we're using our transfer station more fully, so then we can use that toward other solid waste projects and programs. And then we have put the street side trash and recycling containers through the Loop, and then that money came from St. Louis County Public Health, the grant. And then in conjunction with that, we've purchased trash recycling containers for Olive to go along at the bus stops. And so basically what Scott was saying is as we wrap up the Loop, then we want to go to Olive, I mean to everybody, but really Olive, because it's another strip that's easy for our trash trucks to get another you know, to get grasp onto that before we really work it citywide. So that's one of our big projects we're doing right now. Another project we're working on, we try to do annual or biannual electronic recycling events. This last one we did in the spring, we collected over 30,000 pounds of electronics. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the St. Louis Earth Day recycling extravaganza they do every year on Earth Day, and they recycle everything, and they're huge. They have billboards, and they did about the same amount as we did. So I was really happy with that. One big thing we do is the education piece, which is mailing out the postcards that announce it on one side, and then on the other side talks about all the different places that you can recycle hard-to-recycle items. But I'll get to that in a second. This next one coming up, October 15th, we're having a electronics recycling event. And this one, we got a grant from the Solid Waste Management District, and we are going to have about the first 200 CRT TVs to be recycled free. It's going to be covered under the grant because those are usually between $10 and $50 for people to recycle. It's really expensive for the city, and so we got the grant, and trying to get that should be going out in the mail in the next few days. So we'll try to get some of those cleared out so they don't end up in the river, on the streets, in dumpsters, in the alleys where we usually find them. The other big project we're doing is the recycling drop-off area behind the community center. It's been a long time in process, but we're really working hard to make it the best we can. We're moving it from one side to another, so this way it'll be cleaner, more attractive, and hopefully, you know, when things are newer and cleaner for some reason, then people don't tend to dump there as much. Right now it's kind of in the corner, or it has been in the corner. People will come and just drop things off in the middle of the night, and then we give mattresses and TVs and computers and everything sitting there. So we're hoping that this will deter people, and also we move it toward the Pennsylvania side to, it's more lit up, and it's more visible, and it'll look a lot nicer. And so in addition to that, we are going to add, so right now we have cardboard and mixed paper sorted, but now we're going to add glass and plastic sorted, hopefully plastic film sorted, and textiles. And the idea of the sorted recyclables is that we can get revenue from sorted recyclables where we don't get revenue from single stream. Single stream, we don't pay, but we don't get revenue. So if we can get, you know, sorted cardboard, plastic, like hard plastics, glass, mixed paper, then we can bring that revenue in and then add that to the solid waste programs that we can offer. So the idea is, like Lois was saying, that triple bottom line where it's people, planet, profit. So it's going to benefit the people, it's going to benefit the planet for sure, and then obviously for us it's always good to pay for an operation like that. So that is the big one on that. Now as far as what our goals are, the main one, which we talked a lot about already, is promoting and increasing commercial recycling. We do know that commercial waste is about 50% of the waste stream, so we really want to cut that down. And then, you know, of course, adding more accounts will utilize the transfer station and bring in more accounts for being able to fund more projects and programs. And then we'd like to increase our residential recycling education. And this, I think, is something right now about 25% of our curbside is recycled, while about 80% is recyclable. So we really need to focus on trying to get that word spread. I know it's been talked about forever. And if you look at in the back of your packets, there's a few flyers that have gone out either in the bill insert or they may be loose at the end, in the bill insert, and it basically, or I did go to a couple schools and talk about waste and trying to tell people how, you know, right now we pay about $500,000 in landfill fees a year, and we can reduce it, save about $100,000 to $200,000 a year if we can get just a little bit more recycling. We want to just continue that education of special waste disposal. evaluate waste-to-energy opportunities, which are just coming around the corner, and try to reduce some construction demolition waste by promoting people to take it to the different commercial and recycling, the construction demolition waste sites than rather than the landfill. So that's what we're doing in recycling waste resource conservation.
Thank you, and we have one more because we're almost running out of time.
Did it again. Last but not least, our final category is water and stormwater, which is a significant issue in University City. We have found that when we have more than 1 inch of rain at a time, we start to have flooding events in U City. And since we have a combined sewer system, it causes lots of water in the streets and in the alley. So what we are trying to do is that collaboration. You've heard that theme through our entire discussion tonight. Collaboration with communities upstream and downstream, with the River to Pear Watershed Alliance, also Deer Creek, to understand the issues and how we can mitigate our stormwater problems. Encouraging property owners to maintain stormwater on their sites, on their property, by use of rain gardens and even rain barrels. So again, tying back to that education priority and cleaning up our streams, cleaning up the River to Pear, creating clean and safe waterways in our community, and also encouraging property owners, and then the city projects by using permeable paving and other ways of retaining water on site so that it doesn't become stormwater runoff. So education is a big key of this, and communication as well. So several of the items, we've had presentations from MSD to understand their upcoming projects and how we can collaborate and tie in and support those projects. I already touched on the rain barrels. From time to time, grants are another theme. Jenny talked about several grants that the city has obtained so that we can implement specific projects, and I believe grant funding was used several years ago for a rain barrel project to make available to community members. Water quality awareness also. We don't need to use potable water for everything. So, again, for watering your property, for cleaning your cars, cleaning your buildings, you can collect water in rain barrels. Property owners and commercial properties can use gray water systems. So there's ways of reducing the amount of potable water that we need for different projects. And then just creating awareness and tying into all of the successful projects that can mitigate this very significant problem that we have in U City and more broadly in St. Louis. So I breezed through that really quickly. Again, I just wanted to touch on those constant themes of collaboration, communication, working with city staff, also working with council members to bring forth ordinances. We didn't even talk about the weed ordinance that we helped employ so that we can teach our property managers and our residents how to successfully use those native plants and not run afoul of the inspectors. So now we'll open up for some questions.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. Lois, a couple of problems have been brought to my attention with regard to stormwater. And one is definitely the runoff into the homes. Someone noticed that the paving on Midland directed the water onto Cornell, 7,100 to 7,000. Maybe it seemed like the north side of the street. And so perhaps working with the county to talk about regrading or what they might do is one issue. And then another that was recently brought up was the runoff from our Lewis Park onto Yale. And so I'd like to see if we couldn't take a look at some kind of a stormwater master plan. I ran it by the council twice and they said no, but maybe the Green Practices Commission is the right place to put it. It so affects so many people in the city. And it's not that we have to solve all the problems today or simultaneously, but as long as we're working towards that and paying attention to it, I think that would be a real benefit to the citizens.
Duly noted.
Where is the recycling new drop-off near Pennsylvania? Where is that going to be? I missed that, I think.
Is it on? Okay. It's in the same parking lot. It's just when, say, you're going to pull into the maintenance yard, instead of it being on the left, right up against the river, it's going to be on the right along the fence. And so there's a light right there, and then there's light from Pennsylvania. So it's just, it's in the same parking lot. It's just on the right side instead of the left. It's on the east side.
And can I ask, related to water quality, has the commission worked with our staff at all? Because I know in the past we had problems with the runoff from our maintenance lot into the river to Pear. I think on the other side it's been helped without the leaf mulch. We're not contaminating on that side as much because the bark mulch doesn't have the same problem. But are we working with staff at all on how to limit the negative runoff from our maintenance lot, the garage lot?
Specifically, no, but duly noted, and we will look into that.
I think that's part of the MS4, the Municipal Separate Stormwater Sewer System, that we have regulations through MSD that we will be working with the commission on.
I also would like to recognize our two additional commission members that were not able to present tonight. We have Bob Elgin and Ben Richard. Pronounce your last name for me. Jwang, so I don't get it wrong. They're also very active commission members. We just didn't have enough time for everybody to present tonight. So I think we've got two more minutes maybe for additional questions.
Mr. Jennings?
I'll be brief. Under your assist homeowners and businesses with the net zero opportunities, at one time University City was working with Community Action Agency in St. Louis County and Urban League on weatherization, they called it. Now I think they finally have brought it into the 21st century. And have called it sustainable. Are we reaching out to them and working with them? Because they're notorious for getting millions of dollars and trickling the money into communities.
Yeah, that's a good question. We did have a presentation from them about 2 years ago on the weatherization program. As we are an advisory commission, we typically will endorse and help with education. Tim, I'm going to ask you, did we take any action with the CAA or weatherization?
We haven't specifically yet, but that was the intent to try and get the clean energy conservation bonds. The city with Urban League, their program, and I would suggest that we work with Castle, who is operating in San Diego.
So that's an excellent idea for a project. And
their story is that they never get enough applications from communities, so I suggest we get our own applications and deliver them to them.
Again, duly noted. Okay. Thank
Any
you very
questions?
Much for your time.
Hearing none, thank you. We will all reconvene in about 6 minutes up.